Please be seated. As you know, Eastertide is a season of 50 days, a season in which we celebrate the glorious resurrection of Jesus from the dead, a time we give thanks to God for this act, and we embrace the joy of Jesus' victory over sin and death. Being baptized into his death and resurrection, we are promised that we too will share in his resurrection. But what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus is raised from the dead? What does it mean, especially for us who live in this time so long, so far removed from the actual death and resurrection of Jesus? How are we called to live in the power of Jesus' resurrection? How are we to be an Easter people? As always, there are clues in Scripture. Throughout Eastertide, we read from the Acts of the Apostles, and this book is the story of those first followers of Jesus after his death, resurrection, and ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And Acts tells the story of how, through the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit, these first followers of Jesus are transformed. How they leave behind places of fear and hiding. How they find new courage and authority. How they are sent to the ends of the earth, sent to do what Jesus does in his earthly life and ministry, to preach, to teach, to heal, and to raise the dead. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they see the world differently. They understand themselves differently. They experience God differently. In fact, they become a new creation, a people who are reborn, transformed, dramatically changed. We see this in our lesson today from the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter is explaining to church leaders in Jerusalem his action in eating with Gentiles. Now, this may not seem like a big deal to us, but for Peter, who follows the dietary laws and who also is Jewish, this is a big deal. Those first followers of Jesus were Jewish, and the law said they don't share meals with Gentiles. And so the leaders want to know why Peter did this. And so Peter explains. He explains how, as he prayed, he had a vision of a sheet with unclean animals, those animals he should not eat, lowered from heaven. Peter hears a voice calling him to kill and eat. And Peter refuses, explaining he can't do this. But the voice from heaven says, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Peter experiences not once, not twice, but three times that call to kill and eat. And in Scripture, probably any time, but when you hear something three times, it's probably good to pay attention. And then after that, this vision, this sheet is pulled up into heaven. But at that very moment that Peter's having this vision, three people come to Peter from Caesarea, because the Holy Spirit has been active with them as well and has sent them to Peter, saying Peter will have a message for them. And they lead Peter to the home of the Gentile Cornelius. And at Cornelius' house, Peter preaches. And the Holy Spirit is given to Cornelius and his household. Peter sees the Holy Spirit poured out on these Gentiles, and he says to the leaders in Jerusalem, who was I that I could hinder God? And so, seeing this, Peter shares a meal with them. Peter, in this time, remembers how Jesus told the apostles, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so Peter decides that if God pours out the Holy Spirit on Gentiles, just as God did with the apostles, on Peter and the others, who is Peter to question what God is doing? The leaders in Jerusalem listen to Peter tell this story, and they are persuaded by his experience. They come to agree that Gentiles can be included in the church without following the law, without being circumcised. And this opens the way for Gentile converts to Christianity. Through the power of the risen Jesus and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Peter and those first leaders of the church in Jerusalem are transformed. They see the new thing that God is doing. Through prayer and listening, they discern God's activity, and they change their practice. They expand and broaden their sense of who is called by God, who is welcome in the community of Christ's body. And there's no doubt about it, this is a radical change for Peter. It calls from him letting go of what he knows. He has faithfully followed the dietary law his entire life. But allowing Gentiles into the Christian community, though it challenges his understanding of how things are, Peter knows he can't get in the way of God. And so Peter changes. He sees with new eyes. The leaders in Jerusalem also change, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to them through Peter and through his story. They listen, they discern, and they are changed. They too see the new thing that God is doing. As people who live by the power of the resurrection, we too are called to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, for the Spirit to reveal new things that God is doing in our midst. And we too are called to see with fresh eyes, even to see with the eyes of Jesus. And the Spirit prompts us to include all people, to resist the ways our world divides and excludes. Like the leaders in Jerusalem, we are called to respectfully listen to one another, to hear how God is active in each of our lives, to be open to the promptings of the Spirit and allow ourselves to be changed, to be open to new realities, even if we find them difficult to accept. Discerning what God is doing in our lives individually, in the life of this parish community, and in the wider world, I think is especially important in this time we live. Thanks be to God, the pandemic is very much behind us, but we still live in its shadow. We still are doing that work of rebuilding after the disruption of that time. In many ways, life has returned to familiar ways, but the reality has changed, both individually and for this parish. Things are not the same as they were. And that's also true in our nation and in our world. Things are changed. Things are unsettled. Seems everything is in flux. What was certain in the past doesn't feel so certain now. Things are changing, but we don't know exactly where we are going. Living in this transitional time can be, no doubt about it, unsettling. But there's also opportunity. This is a time to intentionally discern where God calls us. In times of transition and change, when we are unsettled, God can break into our lives and we can hear in new ways. We can pay attention in these times. And the promise is that God is ever faithful, that in times like these, God is still at work. God is still bringing new life and growth. I think times like this, times that are unsettled, invite us to contemplate open-ended questions. Questions like, where is God leading us? What new thing is God calling us to undertake? What new ideas and ways of being is God offering? Who are the people God calls us to greet, to welcome, even maybe to seek out? Who is God calling to become part of this faith community? Where in our neighborhood, in our world, is God calling us to act? As we contemplate those questions, I think we find clues in today's passage from the Acts of the Apostles about how to be open to God's call. Peter hears God. Peter sees the vision during a time of prayer. Others in this passage also are listening, and they hear the Holy Spirit's call. Hearing the Spirit often requires that we are quiet, that we are open, that we are receptive. And one of the ways we open ourselves to the Spirit is by intentional times of prayer and of quiet, of coming into God's presence and actively listening for God's call. We see another clue in how the church leaders in Jerusalem respond to Peter after eating with Gentiles. Peter's action is beyond their understanding and practice. But what did they not do? They didn't react. They didn't judge him. They didn't kick him out. They didn't say, "How could you do that?" Instead, they talked with him. They asked him to share his experience. And Acts tells us he explains it to them step by step. And they listen to everything Peter says. And then after he speaks, they are silent. And from that silence, they praise God and they agree that God is doing something new in pouring the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles. I'm sorry to say that I find it difficult to imagine a scene like that in our day. Certainly, I find it difficult in our political realm. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the recent hearings, both at local level but also at the federal level. I would like to say that we are much better at this in the church, though I have witnessed that we are not always. But what a different world and what a different church we would be if we took time to ask people their experience, to invite people to share, to respectfully listen to their story, and to silently reflect on what we have heard with an openness, even an openness to change, an openness to responding positively to new possibilities, to new realities. As followers of Jesus, the risen Lord calls us to deep respect of all people. Jesus calls us to listen, to value other people's stories. Jesus calls us to openness and generosity of spirit toward all people. And Jesus calls us to grow and to change as the Holy Spirit is at work in us and in others. The death and resurrection of Jesus shows God's promise of new life being brought forth from suffering and from loss. Easter reveals how the past does not determine the present nor the future. How from utter loss a new creation is born. And so in Eastertide and throughout our lives, we are called to be formed and shaped by the resurrection of Jesus. To become a new creation. To be an Easter people. People who see with new and fresh eyes. Imagining a new reality. God's reality. To be people acting as God's agents of love, compassion, and mercy. Like Peter and the leaders in Jerusalem, we are called by the Holy Spirit to see what God is doing. We are called to welcome those excluded, Through the gifts of the Spirit, we are charged to boldly proclaim the loving compassion of God, especially to those who sorrow and mourn. And we are called to be a people who proclaim that the promise of God's love is stronger than any power in this world, even death. Amen.